Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Please turn there with me in your Bible. Luke chapter 2 perhaps contains at least what is for me my favorite version of the Christmas story in the Bible. Our focus this morning will be on a somewhat forgotten figure, the prophetess Anna. But in order to have the whole context before us, I want to begin reading at verse 21. So we will read this morning Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 38, though the sermon will focus on verses 36 to 38. Hear now the public reading of God's inspired and infallible word. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking to the redemption of Jerusalem. Thus far, the reading of God's word this morning. Well, all of us just got done celebrating Christmas, didn't we? Now, that's a wonderful time, isn't it? All of the things that we experience in terms of the good things of life we have before us at Christmas. That is for most of us. Most of us get to be with our families for an extended period of time. Now, that's not a very common thing in this day and age, with all the time you spend at work and at school and traveling to and fro, to have a few days set aside where you can be together with your loved ones. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Indeed, what a blessing it is to sit around and to enjoy good Christmas food like turkey and ham, or some smoked salmon and eggnog milkshakes. And you children, how many cookies and candies did you eat? I can still see it on your teeth as you sit here this morning. What a blessed time indeed to celebrate Christmas. But to top it all off, the real reason for this celebration, The centerpiece of everything that is done in this season is that God has become man. The Messiah of dead sinners has come to save them from their sins and grant them the fullness of light, life, joy, and salvation. Now that's the picture I think most of you had as you celebrated the birth of Christ these past few days. That is, most of you. But what a different picture we have here in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, with the prophetess Anna. After all, the setting here is Christmas, is it not? Jesus has just been born. This is the first Christmas. And here we behold a woman named Anna. And what do we see in her life? Do we see her gathered around her husband and children, experiencing blessing and feasting? No. We behold an old, lonely widow with no children, who spends all of her time fasting in the temple. No Christmas feasting for Anna. Christmas fasting for Anna. What a stark contrast to what you and I, at least most of us, experience at Christmas. Yes, the prophetess Anna, here in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, is a forgotten figure in the pages of Luke's Gospel. How many of you remembered her before we read the text this morning? I didn't think so. Not many. I certainly forgot as I looked over things to preach on this Christmas Sunday. And interestingly, most commentators forget her as well. Pick up the commentaries on Luke, and they have lots to say about Simeon and his wonderful words about Jesus, but when they come to Anna, they seem to spend all their time just trying to figure out how old she is. Because of some textual difficulties. They almost completely look over her, neglect her, and forget her. Is that not how widows always are? Even today in the church sometimes? By themselves, alone, forgotten and overlooked? Well, as it was, as it is now, so it is today. By the commentators, and unfortunately by we Christians as well. You see, Anna is overshadowed by Simeon. Simeon, who voices these famous words that you all remember as he picks up dramatically Jesus in his arms and says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, there's some marvelous words. But then, in just a few short verses, there's Anna, who seems to just get skipped over and neglected. Yes, Anna is in the Gospel of Luke an obscure and tragic figure. And as we shall see, what she is experiencing, the hardship, is not entirely her fault. It is the fault of a sinful nation that in unbelief has rejected their God and brought upon them not blessedness, but cursedness. Now, there's a great deal of information packed in these few short verses about Anna, but each little thing tells us much about her situation. Notice what Luke says in verse 36. First of all, note her tribe. What tribe is she from? Well, she's from the tribe of Asher. How many of you remember the tribe of Asher? That's what I thought. Neither did I. The widows are forgotten, Anna is forgotten, and Asher is forgotten, a forgotten widow from a forgotten tribe. The ironies are piling up before us, are they not? Yeah, you probably don't remember much about Asher, do you? But he does appear several times in the pages of the Old Testament, and there are many promises of blessing for this tribe. First of all, look in Genesis chapter 30, verse 13. Here we read of Asher's birth from his mother, Leah. You remember what Leah said as Asher was born in Genesis chapter 30, verse 13? Leah says this, "Happy or blessed am I, for women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. Yes, the word Asher means happiness or blessedness. At his birth, He brought his mother blessedness and happiness. The tribe of Asher is to be characterized then by happiness and blessedness. Well, Asher appears again in the book of Genesis in chapter 49. In chapter 49, verse 20, we have another promise of blessing as Jacob, the patriarch, blesses his sons. Here's what we read about the tribe of Asher there. Jacob says this, "Asher's food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal delicacies." So not just blessedness, but Jacob says that Asher is to be characterized, his whole tribe, by feasting, rich food, great wealth, royal delicacies. Sounds pretty good. Maybe you might want to be a part of the tribe of Asher if you were in Old Testament Israel, huh? Well, that's not the only time. The last time Asher appears in the Pentateuch is in Deuteronomy 33. In Deuteronomy 33, when Moses blesses the sons of Israel, he explicitly addresses Asher. In Deuteronomy 33, verses 24 to 25, he addresses Asher last. And this is what Moses says. "And of Asher he said, 'Most blessed be the sons of Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be.'" Sounds pretty nice. You see, that's what Asher was supposed to have. Happiness, blessedness, abundance, strength, rich food, feasting. That was the lot of Asher. Or so it seems. But not for Anna. Not for Anna of the tribe of Asher. You see, these great things had been promised to the tribe long ago, but something had happened. God's covenant people, the Jews, had rejected in unfaithfulness and idolatry and apostasy. They had rejected their God and worshipped and served other gods. And what came upon them? All the curses that Moses had said for those who will not look to God in faith. Indeed, in the days of Jeroboam, the 10 tribes, including Asher, were sent into exile, and their blessedness was turned to cursed. Their feasting was turned to fasting. And their children, as the curses say, were going to be cut off from the face of the earth. All of the blessedness promised Asher is gone because of unbelief. The sweet blessedness of Asher is turned into bitter cursedness, not because of Anna herself, but because of the nation and their unbelief. How we see Anna's plight embody the plight of the tribe of Asher. Asher was to be blessed with rich food and royal delicacies. But what does Anna have? She spends her days worshiping in fasting and prayer. No feasting, but fasting. How ironic. A member of the tribe of Asher, who is explicitly promised feasting, now must fast. Asher's mother rejoiced at the sight of her birth. But what joy do we see in this old widow? We see her destitute. We see her in the temple alone. Moses said, "Let Asher be blessed with many children." But where are her children? Where is this widow's children to take care of her? They're nowhere to be seen. Maybe she never had some. Maybe they don't care about her. Maybe the Lord was pleased to take them away from her. But this daughter of Asher, who was promised many children, now stands here in the temple and has no children. Indeed, in Anna, we see how Asher was promised length of days, long life with happiness. But what do we see? We see a widow over 84 years old who has lived that whole time, not in blessedness and happiness, but in sorrow and destitution. Yes, we see in Anna a reflection of the cursed sorrow of the tribe of Asher and the nation of Israel as a whole. Though she is among the elect, she is part of that faithful remnant. she has been affected by the sin and disobedience and unfaithfulness of her people. Indeed, how often did Anna the widow, as she worshipped earnestly day and night at the temple, have to listen to the pious prayers of the Pharisees, whom Jesus said, devour widows' houses, in Luke 20, verse 47. Oh yes, great blessedness is promised Asher, but Anna of Asher has nothing. But that's not the only thing we read about Anna. We also read about her father's name. Notice again in verse 36. Anna is referred to as the daughter of Phanuel. Phanuel. Now, what's that mean? Well, we must remember that in the Bible, names are important. They're not just titles we put on people. They have meaning and significance for who they are. Well, who is Phanuel and what's his name mean? Well, we don't really know who he is except his name. And his name, Phanuel, means face of God. It's a word that comes from the Hebrew word Peniel. Now, do you remember Peniel? Do you remember the patriarch Jacob, who we just talked about earlier? What did he do at Peniel? He wrestled with God face to face at Peniel. That's what Peniel means. I have seen God in the face. Peniel, Phanuel, means face of God, or to see and behold God himself. What an irony. She is the daughter of the one who is called face of God. Yet does she behold God's face? She comes to the temple, to the types and the shadows. Israel saw the face of God at Mount Sinai. David, King David in the temple in his day, as it was filled with glory, they saw God and his glory fill the temple. But does she see the face of God? No, she sees not a temple with the presence of God and filled with its glory, but a place filled with a den of robbers. Yet Anna faithfully waits, fasts and worships and waits for the redemption of Jerusalem. That's not all we're told. We're told also in verse 36 that she's a prophetess. Anna is a prophetess. Now, she's not the first woman to bear this title. If you look in Exodus 15, you will find that Miriam is also called a prophetess. And in the book of Judges, Deborah is given the title as well. Yes, like Daniel before her, she is not the first one who bears the gift of prophecy, but does not hold the office of a prophet. The office of prophet was for men alone, though women were sometimes given the gift of prophecy. Think also in the book of Acts of Philip's seven daughters who prophesied. No, we can't look at Anna and say, aha, here we go. We've got a proof text for sexual revolution in terms of women in the church. That's not Anna's concern. Anna's concern is the redemption of Jerusalem that comes through Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, she's a prophetess. And what do prophets do? They speak. They speak forth the word of God. She bears the gift of prophecy to speak. But what do we hear her saying in verses 36 and 37? Well, we don't hear her prophesying anything. In fact, all we see her doing is the priestly duty of praying for the people. You see, she's waiting for Jerusalem's redemption, and she has the gift of prophecy, but she isn't saying anything. Why is this? Well, think again of what's happening in Israel. Ever since the prophet Malachi, what has Israel heard from God? What prophetic messages have come? None. There's been silence for 400 years between Malachi and John the Baptist. And here, as she awaits the coming of Christ, when Christ comes, the word will be revealed anew. She remains silent. She says nothing because the Christ child has not yet come. Do you see what Luke has done? In his description of Anna, he has lifted up before us someone who represents everything that is still unfulfilled in the scriptures, the law, the prophets, and the writings. She bears in herself the consequences of the unfaithfulness and idolatry of God's covenant people. There is emptiness, forgottenness, childlessness, and husbandlessness all throughout her life. And she has nothing to say until the Christ child comes. Indeed, at that very hour, Luke tells us, at that very hour, everything changed for Anna. Because at that very hour, she came up to the temple for the last time before Christ came. Think about it. If she went up to the temple every day from the time she was 24 years old, the text tells us she went up every day, day and night. She would have gone up to that temple almost 22,000 times. 22,000 times in her entire life. She's 84. And now she comes up to the temple for this now last time. Every time before, what did she see? Did she see the redemption of Jerusalem that she longed for? No, she saw nothing. But on this day, everything changes for Anna. Indeed, how ironic that this is at the temple. What is there at the temple? All around her and everyone else are the types and shadows, all of which are pointing them to the fulfiller of their hopes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the text itself emphasizes this. It tells us that at the birth of Jesus, the parents do everything that the law requires. In fact, this is an inclusio that surrounds the whole chapter. In verse 24, as well as at the end in verse 27, everything spoken here takes place according to the law of the Lord. Jesus here is fulfilling the law, fulfilling the temple, fulfilling the types. The entire passage is surrounded with the ceremonies of the patriarchs, circumcision, and of Moses, the temple, and the sacrifices and offerings. But now here in this temple that was to point to Jesus, who is presented right on center stage, Jesus, the bringer of grace. Simeon saw it. Simeon saw it when he picked up that child in his arms. He said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The consolation of Israel was before him." And indeed, Anna saw it as well. In Jesus, she saw the redemption of Jerusalem. She saw what she had been waiting for, her long-awaited Redeemer. Like Ruth waited for Boaz, her kinsman Redeemer, to buy her back and take her to himself, so Anna waits for Jesus to redeem her and make her part of his blessed bride, the church, to take away her childlessness, husbandlessness, and cursedness. Don't you see how everything changed for Anna when she went up to the temple and that baby was presented? You know what Anna's name means? It means grace. Anna means grace. Well, here Anna, whose name means grace, comes up to the temple and beholds Jesus, the grace of God incarnate in the flesh. Here Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, face of God, though she had worshipped in the temple night and day and never sees him, now beholds in that child the very face of the person of God himself. This widow, whose life was full of nothing but fasting in prayer, is now filled with the fullness of joy at his presence before him. This widow, who has no husband, now beholds in the child the one who will be the husband and head of his church, the God who promises to be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widow. This prophetess who was once silent and said nothing, had nothing to say, now does what? The text tells us she goes and speaks and gives thanks to God about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You see, now that Jesus has come, she's got much to say. Before, she said nothing, and now you can't keep her quiet. Indeed, this childless woman, though as a widow, she has longed for a child, she now beholds in this tiny babe the one child that means anything to her. The child that will bring her true contentment and true satisfaction, because this child will bring her not just earthly happiness, but salvation and grace for the forgiveness of her sins. Yes, Anna now speaks, but she only speaks to a select few. She speaks to those who were truly in faith waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. It's interesting, isn't it, what Luke doesn't say? He tells us nothing about the priests who are there in the temple performing their duties upon Jesus, going through the rites, performing the sacrifices as God said, but there's no faith. We read nothing about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who stand there in the temple and pray and say, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. All these poor and destitute people whom you've obviously cursed, I thank you that I am one of the righteous blessed. No, we read nothing about them. We only read about this old, insignificant, forgotten widow. Remember, beloved, if you ever find yourself in that situation, whether you're a widow or not, especially if you're a widow, remember the prophetess Anna. She rejoices and gives thanks because, though in this life she has nothing, in this child, in Jesus, she has something more precious than all the treasures and the kingdoms of the earth can possibly give. Indeed, in comparison with Christ, they are but like a speck of dust in this vast universe of eternity. And so she speaks of Jesus, gives thanks for Jesus, and rejoices in Jesus. And this is true not just for Anna, but also for us. We who are empty, we who are lonely, we who feel the weight of the curse upon us, we who have been face to face with death, who perhaps have even lost our children, our spouses, and our families, and find ourselves wasting away in the last few years of our lives. Yes, you're just like Anna. And if, like her, you go to Jesus in faith, you will have her joy. You will have her blessing. You will have the same grace that Christ gave to her. And it will not matter for you one bit what hardship you undergo. It will not matter one bit what persecution you have to endure. Oh yeah, Jesus says, as this child grows up, if you're going to follow me, you must take up the cross. But that cross is not a heavy weight. Because Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, because we know that if we follow him, the sufferings of this present time aren't even worth being compared with the glory that is to come. So I call you to come, as Anna did, in your emptiness, in your cursedness, in your wretchedness, as you wait for redemption, to come to Christ in faith, to receive him, to rest upon him, and find in him the full salvation and forgiveness of your sins. Amen. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, how we thank you for this text about Anna. It's so often overlooked, oh Lord, yet what sweet grace it has for us who are just like her, helpless and destitute, totally unable in ourselves to do anything to save ourselves. Yet how richly, oh Lord, do you fill us with Jesus. And we thank you, O Lord, for this sacrament that we're about to observe, how we have him and his work, not just his birth, but his death on the cross, and a reminder of his coming again at the end of the world before us in the bread and the wine. Help us, O Lord, as we come to do so in faith, looking not to ourselves, to our works, but to him, and to him alone, and his rich grace for sinners like us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.